if we are not careful. Communion can become a tradition, something that is on the calendar that we do four times in the year, that is routine, that is fixed. And if we're not even more careful, it can become an empty tradition. To illustrate what a tradition is, I share with you a story of a Buddhist monk who was very famous and had many devotees, many followers. And this monk, whenever he would pray, would pray facing or outside his window. And he would bring an offering to the gods of a bit of butter placed on a tiny plate on the windowsill. As he's praying, he offers this butter as his offering to the gods. But there was a problem. When he was finished and he turned his back, his cat would jump up the windowsill and eat the butter. So he devised a clever solution to the problem. He would tie his cat to the footpost of his bed so the cat could not reach the butter. So every time he is praying to his gods and he's offering his offering, before he does so, he would tie his cat to the bedpost of his bed, the leg post of his bed. When he died, several generations later, and many devotees, every time a devotee would pray, they would pray facing the window. They would bring an offering of butter to offer to the gods and a cat to tie to the leg of their bed. That is what a tradition can become when we lose sight of the practical reason why something was done, and we adopt a practice without having any clue of the real meaning or practical reason for it. So why do we have communion? Why is it important? Why is it necessary? Have you ever thought and asked yourself that question? Is it something that we look forward to, or is it a dry service that we stay away from? Psychology tells us that human memory is almost like that of a computer that allows us to store information in our brains for later use. And I believe that those people who developed computer systems, they studied the original computer, the God-made computer, our brains, to come up with this system. But just like the computer, we need to master three processes when we are remembering something. The first is encoding, which is the process where we transfer information to be stored. Then the second is storage, where we actually hold that information for later use. And finally, retrieval, bringing the information out of storage. All of these things are important. These are the things we go through when we remember. And we are told that there is short-term memory and there is long-term memory. And they are pretty self-explanatory. But what is stored in our long-term memory, we are told, is typically things that we have attached a significance to, things that are important to us. Things like your wedding day, or maybe when your first child was born, or maybe you suffered a terrible, tragic accident. These are stored in your long-term memory because they are important to you. You have attached a significance to them. Now, how many of you remember the color of the article of clothing the person who sat in front of you last Sabbath was? You don't remember because you do not attach any significance or importance to that fact. God calls us to remember some things in the Bible because they are important. And there is a little phrase that we normally attach to the communion service, in remembrance of me. Some churches have it on the front wall of their stage. Some have it carved into the communion table, in remembrance of me. And this is what God has asked us to do, what Jesus has instituted, to remember him. So when we come to the communion service, it is important that we attach a significance to what we are doing, that we remember that it is important. And the word significance in there is the word sign. And a sign is something that points to something else. So why do we do it? In Exodus chapter 12, God gives instructions to his people. They are about to be delivered from bondage. And he institutes the Passover. And we read in the scripture reading, when the children will ask, what do you mean by this service? Why do you do it? Why is it important? What is it all about? Very important questions. You will say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. And I hope the children are asking the question, why do we do it? What is this all about? Not just the physical children, but maybe even the new babes in Christ. And I hope we are providing the answer. I hope the children ask the question beyond just the communion service. But why do we go to church every Sabbath? Why do we have family worship? Why are these things important? Why do we need to follow the Bible? Why do we need to follow God? And I hope we can give a significant answer. An answer that reveals why it is important. In the first 13 verses of Exodus chapter 12, we have recorded the instructions the Lord gave. It says, "Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.'" They were going to have a new experience. They were going to be delivered. And God had says that you need to now mark time by this event, because this is your new birth. And he says in verse 3, "Speak to the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall eat none of it. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So shall you eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Father, bless your word to your people. Bless our thoughts. Anoint my lips. And may we have a clear vision of what we are about to do and why we do it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we have read, we understand that God instituted the Passover to celebrate the deliverance of the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. This was to be a feast, or a ceremony, if you want to put it that way, which was to take place just prior to their deliverance, prior to God delivering them from slavery, from bondage. And we, as God's people, we believe that we are on the verge of being delivered from this world of sin. Jesus is about to come. And we are called to remember and to celebrate our imminent deliverance. And I believe we all have applied the blood of Jesus on the doorposts of our hearts. He came as this lamb, this sacrifice, innocent, without blemish, male. This Passover pointed to what Jesus would do on the cross. And so the children of Israel demonstrated faith and obedience by doing what God had instructed them to do. Had they not done so, they would have perished. And so we can see faith and works working hand in hand. God had given the instructions and they obeyed, they carried it out, but by faith they believed it would work and they would be spared. And it did work and they were delivered. But notice here how they were to prepare this lamb. It was not to be boiled. They were not to eat it raw with the blood. No. Boiling would also take too long. You have to sit and wait for the water to get to a certain temperature. They were to eat it in haste, so that means just throw it on the fire and let it be cooked as quickly as possible. The bread was to be unleavened, no time to sit and let leaven do its work. That would be too long. So in these details, we can see the element of haste, the element of quickness, of the soon unraveling of events. Moreover, they were to eat it with their belts on their waists, their sandals on their feet, their staff in their hands. They were supposed to be ready to go, ready for their deliverance. They were to be so expectant that they would be leaving this land of bondage. They have already packed everything up, not sitting on their lounges with their legs stretched out, watching their large, high-definition televisions. Not in a position of comfort, but in a position that says, we don't want to be here anymore. We are longing and waiting and expecting Jesus to deliver us. And we are ready to go. Are you ready to go? This is how the Passover was to be celebrated. We are not celebrating the Passover today. Jesus linked the old with the new in Luke chapter 22, verse 14 to 16. Luke chapter 22, verse 14 to 16. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Not the Passover, but this one. with you before I suffer. He knew this would have been his last. But we must remember that the context of the Lord's Supper was that of the celebration of the Passover, which was the feast that God set up to celebrate the deliverance of his people from Egyptian bondage. How he spared them, how they were to take the lamb that represented Jesus himself. And the blood of that lamb is what saved them by faith. And here Jesus, the lamb himself, celebrating the Passover. Type meets antitype. And he celebrated it. But then he did something new. In verse 17, the Bible says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in what? Remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shared for you. So Jesus asked us to do this, to remember him. Not Christmas, not Easter, but the communion service. Not that there is anything wrong with the death of Jesus on the cross, the passion story. Not that there's anything wrong with the story of his birth. These stories are part of the gospel. But this is not the area of scripture that he calls us to focus on, to remember him. Else we would have to only wait. We would have to wait an entire year. That's why he says, as often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. And so it should be in our minds. We should remember what he has done for us. And it should be a celebration of our deliverance. The New Testament church did not remember. They forgot. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul had to write concerning the things that he heard took place in the communion service. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 20 to 22, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Paul is saying they had completely lost the plot. They were not practicing what Jesus had instituted and what it was meant to be. He says, what is happening here is not the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. It was a mad grab. People were climbing over each other and reaching and grabbing, elbowing each other and pushing each other to get more. And while others had huge plates, there were some who had none. They had forgotten why they did it. He says, what? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. This may not be our problem, because the glass of grape juice, and the bread is so tiny, there's nothing to fight over. But if we are not careful, we can lose the significance. It can be a dry routine that we go through. The hymn writer says, "Beneath the forms of outward rite, thy supper, Lord, is spread." I love that first line of that hymn. If we're not careful, it could become a ritual and a form. What we must focus is what is beneath it, why it is significant. And so I want to submit to us a few reasons why the communion service is important. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter denied him permission to wash his feet, he says, "If I do not do this to you, I have no part with you." There's no connection if you don't do this, Peter. And so the communion service does not create connection. It is because we are connected, we do it. So the one who loves the Lord loves to sit at his table. If you're connected with Jesus, you would love to be here. You can't wait for the next communion service. Too many people think that there isn't enough of a blessing. Maybe they think there isn't enough entertainment value in the communion service because the sermons are always the same. All of these rituals of doing this and that. And so they want something more creative. They want a more exciting word. And maybe when it is announced that next Sabbath is communion, maybe some think, well, this is my indication to go somewhere else. But if you are connected with Jesus, maybe in an area like this where communion is held on different Sabbaths, maybe you would say, "I want to find the church where there is communion so I can attend." And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you are here. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be here. And I'm hoping that you are here, not just because it's Sabbath and this is your church, but I'm hoping that you are here because it is communion. In Desire of Ages, there are a few reasons that are given. She says, "These are the things we should never forget. The love of Jesus with its constraining power is to be kept fresh in our memory." This is what we should focus on. Yes, every day, every week, every Sabbath, we should focus on the love of Jesus. But in a special way, we should focus, have a laser-sharp focus on the love of Jesus and his power in our lives should be celebrated when we come to the communion service. Just think of what your life would be without Jesus. Think of where you were before you knew him. Or maybe before you had that deeper walk with him. Think of where he has taken you to. These are the things that we should celebrate and be glad for at the communion service. She also says that Jesus instituted this service that it may speak to our senses of the love of God. And how many times do we engage our senses in the communion service? Now we read in the Bible that the soldiers parted, they cast lots for Jesus's garment because it was seamless. But can you imagine when they took that garment off of Jesus, he would have already been physically assaulted and brutalized. There would have been blood spilt on that garment that they were fighting over. And I don't know how keen your sense of sight is, but maybe at Dora Creek, we do communion so well that we have illustrated this as you look at the white, and we don't know if Jesus' garment was white, but maybe it was. We like to believe it. A red stain on that white cloth that is covering the body and blood of Jesus. I didn't miss it. Well, maybe because I was told it was there. But as I looked on it, this is where my mind focused. If I were there and I saw the blood oozing through Jesus' white tunic, it would make me very sad. But it would make me appreciate his sacrifice even more. So, Helen, all things work together for good. Our senses must be engaged because Jesus instituted this service that it may speak to our senses. So, can I encourage you to engage your senses, all of them, that we can use our senses to focus on the love of God in this communion service. The union and love between brother and brother must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. There is something, and I don't know if we still do it. It is very important to announce this the week before, the Sabbath before, that there is communion the following Sabbath because, and I'm hoping it's not a tradition, because traditions can sometimes disappear because it is not important or we have lost the significance. But growing up in the church, we're told that during this week, we are to reach out to our brothers and sisters that we may have offended or who may have ought against us and reconcile our differences, ask for forgiveness. And when I was growing up in church, it was taken so seriously, even the walk after the preaching service to the place where the foot washing took place, people would talk things over. Without this practice, now, yes, we should do it all the time, but sometimes when things are orchestrated in a way that compels you to do it, you make sure it gets done. So there will be conflict between us, brothers and sisters in the church, even between husbands and wives. What a glorious opportunity the communion service gives us to be able to talk with each other, to confess wrongs, and to offer forgiveness. The union and love between brother and brother must be cemented and rendered eternal by the love of Jesus. So let me encourage you as you go through these next few minutes to make this service real. May it quicken you. May it make you alive. Use your senses, your sense of hearing, as you listen to the beautiful music, your sense of sight. Take a look at that red drink in that glass and think of the red blood of Jesus that was spilt. Your sense of taste. I love a good communion bread. When it hits my mouth, there's a burst of flavor. And I think of the goodness of God, because he says we should taste and see that he is good. Communion bread should taste good, and the wine, because if God is good and he invites us to taste and see that he is good, it should taste good. No pressure on the people who prepare it. But focus on that taste. As you grind that bread, think of Jesus' body being broken. In one particular church, somebody came up with the idea, and I'm not suggesting that this is practiced, but somebody put in essential oils in the water for foot washing that had a wonderful aroma. But use your creativity and let your senses pick up God's love in this communion service, and may it be a meaningful blessing upon you as we all remember his sacrifice for us. I'm told that everyone will be in the hall. There is a curtain that separates the men from the women, but we will all be washing our feet in the hall after the closing hymn and prayer. Father, we thank you for covering our lives with your blood. Help us to, by faith, accept that even one drop of blood is enough to cleanse us from all of our sins. May we rejoice in thee. May we rejoice in knowing that we are forgiven. May we rejoice in knowing that we are saved by you by faith. Father, bless us now as we separate, as we wash each other's feet. May it be an act of service that draws us closer to you and binds us closer together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.